Just wait. Wait till it starts. The introit is found on your yellow bulletin. He is risen, alleluia. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Alleluia. Remember how he spoke to you, alleluia. The Son of Man must be crucified and the third day rise again. Alleluia, alleluia. Our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who has set your glory above the heavens? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. He is risen. Alleluia. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Alleluia. Remember how he spoke to you. Alleluia. The Son of Man must be crucified, and the third day rise again. Alleluia. Alleluia. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Glory be to God on high, and on earth his goodwill toward men. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy. Who takes away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Who sits at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy. For you only are holy, you only are the Lord. You only, O Christ, with the Holy Spirit, are most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Grant, we implore you, Almighty God, that we who celebrate your Paschal feast, kindled with heavenly desires, may ever thirst for the fountain of life, Jesus Christ, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for Easter Day is from the 19th chapter of Job. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. That they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. The epistle is from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Grab the hymnal that's right under there. We'll sing for a bit. Up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the Gospel of the Lord. The Nicene Creed, page 141. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our sermon text is from Mark 16, verse 6. He said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just as there are four Gospels, so there are four accounts of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Mark's is the one appointed for Easter Day and read just a few minutes ago. It is the one which ends quite abruptly. Verse 8, "So they went out quickly, fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." That surely doesn't sound like a proper ending to a historical narrative which tells of the life and the suffering, the death, and now the grand finale, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Doesn't sound like it, but I don't have any doubt that it surely did happen, just as St. Mark tells us it did. And yes, I do know, when we put together the account of all of the four Gospels, we get a rather full picture of what actually happened on that glorious third day after the death of Jesus. However, the actual response of the disciples and the women really doesn't do justice to the resurrection. The disciples, they didn't gather early in the morning with lilies and trumpets and festive torches in order to greet their Lord. They surely didn't greet Jesus with, "Christ is risen," and he says back, "He is risen indeed, yes." There was not a rousing organ voluntary. There was not even an Easter breakfast. For the women who did rise well before dawn and go to the tomb, there is a surprise at the tomb. It is not closed by a large stone. There's also alarm and fear and trembling at the sight and words of an angel announcing Jesus' resurrection. And for the men, well, there's the bewildering witness of the women who had been at the tomb. And even with the women's words, some of the men leave, get up and go to Emmaus, thinking that the whole discipleship thing is now over. And it's not until Sunday night, when the doors were shut, that they get to see and touch the Christ who had risen from the dead. It doesn't seem like a proper resurrection. Well, our Christian faith is not founded upon an idea. It's not dreamed up by a few men telling us what they think that God should be like. It is not man-made myths or legends intended to explain some actions or ritual of the early Christian community. Our Christian faith is based on hard facts and historical accounts. The apostles are eyewitnesses of everything that Jesus did and said. Now, I guess one gospel account would have been enough. Two accounts would have been admissible in court. However, the triune God, in his own wisdom, sought fit to have the record of four apostolic accounts that we might be sure of the facts and know exactly what happened. However, our Christian faith is not simply facts. Even an unbeliever can study the Scriptures and come up with the right answers based on the Holy Gospel accounts. So, knowing that Jesus died at 3 p.m. on Good Friday will not save. Knowing that Jesus was placed in a tomb before 6 p.m., remained there all day Saturday, and rose before sunrise on Sunday, is not salvific. And surprisingly, like the women who were there, experiencing the facts, as the men and women did, concerning Christ's resurrection that Sunday morning, does not make them a member of the Holy Christian Church. Though Christianity is historically, in fact, based, it is the faith and trust in the meaning attached to those facts which saves. The difference between the facts and the salvation is the Christian faith, which believes the salvific results of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We do not hear the gospel reading and run away in fear. We do not listen to the preaching and then remain in doubt. We believe certain things based on those facts. Now, just listen to a few of the teachings concerning the facts of Christ's death and resurrection. St. Paul tells us in Romans 4:25 that Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. That Jesus was delivered over to death is the fact. To believe that he did it for our sins is the Christian faith. We believe that Jesus' death was a substitutionary death. That Jesus was raised to life is the fact. Now, it is an impressive fact, which no one had performed before. We can be amazed. We can wonder at it. But it is still a fact. To believe that he did it for our justification, that is the Christian faith. When Jesus died, the payment for the debt of sin is paid, and now the sins are gone. We believe that Jesus' death removes sin, and Jesus rose from the dead so that faith would receive a declaration of righteousness. Another verse, Romans 1, verse 4 says, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now, of course, Jesus was the Son of God at his conception, at his birth, and remains as such. But in his resurrection from the dead, this fact bears a powerful witness that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that Jesus' resurrection shows Jesus is the Son of God. Christ's resurrection confirms that Jesus' teaching was true. John 8:28-29, Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things." So Jesus himself claimed to be the Son of God. Jesus' teaching is none other than the words of the Heavenly Father, so that whatever Jesus says can be trusted. And what did Jesus teach? John 14, verse 19, "Because I live, you will live also." Jesus, the Son of God, rose from the dead. We believe that because Jesus lives, you and I will live also. We too will have a resurrection. We will receive our bodies back. The prophet Job showed that he believed this when he said, not just facts, but he speaks about his own faith and trust. We take this on and make it true for us as well. "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Well, if I get to live after death, so that in my flesh I see God and my eyes behold Him, well, that is no death at all. Death is considered to be the end. So when a loved one dies, they don't come back. Well, it makes it seem to be that it is a permanent separation. You can't cancel a contract, but I guess you can return to your hometown. You can correct a tax return. But death? We say death can't be cheated. Or at least that's what we thought. the death, and now the resurrection of Jesus Christ has changed all of that. John 5:24 says, "Most assuredly I say to you that he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." So faith or trust in Jesus Christ as the one who died for our sins and was raised for our justification gives eternal benefits. Like Jesus, the believer has passed from death into life. Jesus taught this repeatedly, but the women and the men didn't take it in. But now the resurrection account is a concrete example of what Jesus was talking about. John 11. Jesus said to her, he was talking to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" The resurrection is not an idea, which we hope is true. Jesus rose from the dead. It is a fact. He defeated death and now he is alive. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And as a Christian, you believe in that fact. You trust in it. You believe because the scriptures teach that. The facts of the resurrection. John 8:51, "Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Now that is an amazing claim. Never sees death. You say you have believers. You've seen them die. But I tell you that if death is not a permanent separation, then it is no different than the temporary separation of sleep. If death doesn't end life, then it is no death at all. Jesus showed by the resurrection that death could be defeated. And Jesus promised that all those who believe in him would cheat death as well. You believe in Christ? Well, then you shall never see death. You pass right through death into eternal life. Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The believers which you know have died, but they have only walked through the shadow of death." They are not dead, but alive. The epistle quotes Hosea 13:14, which says, "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction." Jesus is pictured as a destroyer of death and the grave. Death is swallowed up in victory. He brings in victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this brings us back to the beginning of the sermon. Jesus died for our sins. The law, which declared death for the sinner, has now lost its strength. Through faith in Jesus' resurrection, we have a justification. We've been declared righteous. So without the law's accusation, there is no sin. There is no death. Believers in Jesus will simply skip out on death. We shall never taste death. 1 Corinthians 15. "But now Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." We will fall asleep, but we will awake. We will wake up with Christ. His resurrection is only the first. We believe there will be a resurrection of life for all believers in Jesus Christ. Believers do not die, but only fall asleep in Jesus. That is why there were no trumpets or alleluia choirs at the tomb that Easter dawn. That is why the women were alarmed and trembled and were afraid. They didn't know the Christian teaching which we know concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sins forgiven, justification is declared. The law has lost its accusation. Death has lost its sting. we will not die but live. If they had known that death had been swallowed up in victory, there would have been a parade, a celebration of Jesus' victory which gives us life. They would have sung their alleluias. Rather than running away in fear, they would have run to the tomb in joy and hope. Christ is risen. Indeed, alleluia. Our hearts yearn within us for the Savior who gives us the victory over death. Yes, no death for me. Thank you. And so as Christians, we gather not only on this Sunday, this day of our Lord's resurrection, but on every day, the day of Christ's resurrection, to remember and thank our Lord for His loving kindnesses. We form choirs and sing His praises. And when the Sabbath is over, we rise from our sleep to live a new life. Mighty victim from the sky, hell's fierce powers beneath you lie. You have conquered in the fight. You have brought us life and light. Alleluia. Now no more can death appall. Now no more the grave enthrall. You have opened paradise, and your saints in you shall rise. Alleluia. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. The offertory is on page 143. We stand.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a heart stirred within me. Cast me now away from your presence, and lay not your Holy Spirit upon me.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that our dear Lord Jesus is not to be found among the dead, but is living among all your saints on earth and in heaven, who praise his glorious resurrection from the grave. We thank you that our Savior Jesus has conquered death and defeated the devil and did descend to proclaim his victory. We thank you that he has clothed us with the garment of salvation, has opened to us the kingdom of heaven, restoring to us innocence and everlasting life. We thank you that he has filled us with the power to rise from our sins and walk in truth and pureness of living. And he will finally change our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. Let us pray to the Lord. We praise you that our dear Lord Jesus Christ, not found among the dead, but living among all the saints, give grace and guidance to our Bishop James, to our pastors Michael and Gary, as well as bless our Learning Center, our Director Keeley, our teachers and staff. Let us pray to the Lord. Bless and preserve our President Joe, our Governor J.B., our Mayor of Heron Steve, and all those who govern us in our nation, state, and city, that freedom, justice, righteousness, and peace may prevail. For our military personnel, especially Timothy, Danny, Jason, and Blake, and those who attend to us in times of emergency, all public servants, give commitment to duty and in danger keep them safe. Almighty and everlasting God, the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of the weak, look upon the tribulation and distress of those affected by the coronavirus throughout the world. Comfort those who have lost loved ones, provide care for those infected, and calm the worries of the timid, so that in their necessities they may observe and receive your manifold help and comfort. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, be with our shut-in Carolyn, with our elderly Violet and Verdell. Provide for the needs of Caitlin, Jade, Kevin, Linda, Rebecca, Victor and Marcia, Tony, Gibb, Shirley, Vicky, and Keely. Also with our students, Jonathan, Kirsten, Alexis, Sarah, Benjamin, Jacob, and Ashley. We give thanks to you for taking your sister Priscilla home, and we ask that you would comfort the family with the resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the very Paschal Lamb, which was offered for us, and has taken away the sins of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us, O Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ, I'm set unto your apostles, peace I leave with you, and peace I give unto you. Regard not my sins, but the faith of your church, and grant unto that peace and unity, which is according to your will, for you and the name of Father, and forever. Amen. I will receive the bread of heaven and call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, I'm not worthy you should come under my roof, but I may speak the word of my soul, shall be healed.
Voice of rejoicing and salvation. Holy Spirit. give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen, amen,
seated.